Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening once again, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart. First of all, we want to give God thanks for the great gift of salvation through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is first our Savior. He is first our rescuer from death and the grave and eternal misery, that is, eternal separation from God. Jesus has provided us salvation from that horrible destiny. And so we are indeed thankful daily. I'm thankful moment by moment. I have always wanted to have God in all my thoughts. Now, not completely successful at that yet, but God has provided me a platform from which I can be in continuous fellowship with Him, spite of what I'm going through within this realm of men. I can be in constant fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So, I depend on that relationship, and it is vital, it is essential to my life, such as it is, having surrendered or having crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. That comes, that must happen before one can walk or live a life that is well-pleasing to God. Because in order to produce the fruit of the Spirit, then Galatians 2:20 must take place. I am crucified with Christ. That's the only way that the believer can effectively get to the fifth chapter of Galatians. And there, in his or her life, there is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is produced in the believer's heart and life through the Holy Spirit only. He is our Parakletos. He is the one who comes alongside, who ministers to us in this realm of darkness. We have light. We have our Goshen. If Jesus is guiding you and you are in fellowship with Him, then you have your inner Goshen. You have your inner land of light when there is darkness all about. Just think about what people say and don't do it for a prolonged period of time, but look at their eyes. Look at their walk. There is an instrument called the Misery Index, and you can go there and you can look up so many things about what goes on to people, that is, with people, that is, what has been created for them, a reality that is ever shrinking, that is ever more miserable and increasingly less satisfying. Think how different things would be if the men who are called of God to prepare their hearts first, as Ezra prepared his heart. And then after his heart was prepared, he went out and taught the people the word of God. And you see, we live in a situation like the book of Judges. And we see it today. We see what is going on in people's, the lives of the believing community is what I'm speaking about. And how they are, the self-torture that is going on in their lives because they haven't crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. And so just like the people of God who in their apostasy were in the temple worshiping Molech and worshiping the Baal, doing things that were horrid, and the Spirit of God witnessed those things, and the Spirit of God withdrew himself from his people because of their sin. And remember, that temple is for us today symbolic. We are the naos. We are the naos, the inner sanctuary, the inner part of that holy temple. And the Holy Spirit dwells within us. So what's going on in your life? You see, this is why I wanted to talk about the Christology of the Apostle John. In John chapter 1, we have the prologue, verses 1 through 17. And in that prologue, we have summarized the contents of the Gospel of John. And John states at the end of the Gospel why this particular document was written. And there's a very, the testimony is very powerful. So some say that John's Gospel was mystical with the language he uses, such as ye and me and I in you. And there is a mystical aspect, but there is an essential aspect that John presents. John uses the word believe 98 times. And in the New Testament, the word believe does not mean a one-time belief. Now, let me explain. There is an initial belief in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is a continuation or a growth in that belief. Once again, so the verb believe as used in John, in its fullest meaning, the verb means the continuing process of belief and also involving progress. That is the key word in the Gospel of John. So John had a very intimate relationship with Jesus, and his writings, that is the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the Revelation, are the fruit of that relationship that John had with his Lord. In John 20, verses 30 and 31 read, this is John 20, the Gospel of John, quote, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Notice, and many other signs. Well, why? Why the necessity of many other signs? Well, these men were called to an incredible ministry, and their hearts needed to be built up, and their hearts were built upon the rock, upon the eternal certitude of the truth that is in Jesus. So John 20, verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. That is the purpose of this incredible document. That is why we have the Gospel of John. So John presents Jesus as, in chapter 2, verse 1 through 11, changing water into wine. And it is noted that this happened at a marriage. And so it is the miracle of quality. And remember that when Jesus turned the water into wine, the steward there, there was a comment about the wine, and that the best of the wine usually comes out at the beginning. But here the comment was, the best wine had been brought out later. So what did Jesus provide? And remember, this is come within the context of marriage. There is a relationship of quality. That is who Jesus is. So John presents Jesus as our essential mean. What does essential mean? It means that without which thing cannot be done. Essential. Jesus is essential. If Jesus is merely an intellectual study, if Jesus is merely some cartoonish or someone has some cartoonish understanding of the person of Jesus that is not real, then nothing will change in his or her life. But when the individual understands that Jesus is our essential need, or his or her essential need, then that qualitative change takes place in the heart. There's so many things today that people cannot talk about. People are forbidden to speak of. I watched a video in which a believing pastor in Tennessee, the FBI went to his house to arrest him for protesting abortion. They went there with automatic weapons to arrest this pastor. And what do they have? He is in a videotape sitting down, and he's with other believers protesting abortion. And so he was taken from his family. We live in days of darkness. This man stepped out by faith. And he let his testimony be known. It's easy, as we all know, to say that one is of the faith in a smooth season. And hence, this is why the brother talks about Chief Grace Bonhoeffer and Costly Grace. Many are in the area of Chief Grace. Very few migrate into the realm of Costly Grace, where grace costs something. These people are deep, and they're real, and they're vital. They have that essential relationship with God. Jesus said that we must take up the cross. He who would follow me must take up his cross. Take up his cross and follow me. Jesus is our shepherd. He shepherds us. Remember Psalm 23. Psalm 23, but extols the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Notice the state of being verb. Not was or will be, but the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. There's no need that I could have that he does not fulfill. Thus, he is therefore essential for me. I need him. I have a vital connection with Jesus. 1 John chapter 5 talks about the one who would touch us so as to have the devil cannot touch us so as to have a modifying influence on our lives from Jesus. He can't do that. He can't break that. He cannot overcome that barrier. He cannot compromise that relationship that we have with Jesus. Oh, and just think about the sexual reassignment surgeries. Just think about the chemicals that were put in plastics in order to compromise the spermatozoa in men in order to lower their sperm count, in order to hamper their manhood, their masculinity, in order to cut it off, and the name calling, toxic masculinity, in order to divide and conquer. Notice the language, divide and conquer. How old is this strategy? Look in Genesis 3. Look what the Nakash did with the man and his wife. He divided and conquered. He divided and he conquered. It's an old strategy. And so you know who uses it. He used it then. He uses it in marriages today. John writes in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, John, there are two main verbs throughout this passage. And these verbs contrast what Jesus had always been and what he became at his incarnation. So we would do well to carefully read this passage. So Jesus is prior to matter. That is, he is prior. He is before mass energy. He is before matter. And therefore, he is the creator of mass energy. Nothing is prior to him. He was the Word. He is the beginning. And today, people no longer espouse science, which has to do with testing hypotheses and repeating them to see if one gets the same outcome. Today, people believe in scientism. And science is, the word is from a Greek word that means knowledge. But this is a religious dogma that is built upon the flimsy structure of statistics and research that is built upon flimsy claims. Now, if one were to say, well, I have read Karl Popper's The Philosophy of Science that deals with mathematical logic, then I would become interested in listening further to what this individual has to say. Or he has read, A.J. Iyer. And so there are Alfred North Whitehead, and these real theoreticians in mathematical logic upon which science is built. Then I would be impressed. Bertrand Russell, then I would say, well, I would listen. And it was Bertrand Russell who wrote the tune Why I Am Not a Christian. And, you know, I would listen for a little bit. But here we see the eternal nature of Jesus. So John teaching truth to us. He is espousing truth to us. Alithanos in the Greek. Jesus is the truth. And there's an old sign at a university in Europe that reads, extra Göttingen, non est vita. And so we say the same for Lord Jesus Christ. Outside Jesus, non est vita. Outside Jesus, there is no life. No matter how dramatic, no matter what the claims are, no matter what people say, and you see the divided consciousness, you see the schizophrenic nature of people today who cannot dissociate themselves from their humanity, and yet they try to use English adjectives or verbs or what have you, or adjectives that is the scriptures to pin down their fragmented consciousness. And the fact that they don't understand how scattered they are. And they're not bewildering. They have just been tricked by the devil. And they have been given chemicals that are designed to create schizophrenia in their lives. And look how they decorate their bodies. Look how they transform their bodies. The Bible teaches about what it means to be demonized. And John talks about such entities in 1 John and in the Revelation. There are encounters in the Gospel of John, but such, and Jesus talks about the devil. And Jesus says of him that he was a liar from the beginning. How long did Jesus know the devil? From the beginning. We don't know what that means. Jesus said, if another comes in his name, him you will receive. Well, of whom is he speaking? Well, in the latter days, the Antichrist is going to arise. The Therion, the wild beast, is going to arise. And Paul writes that in the latter days, violent times will come. And I've just been looking at some videos about Philadelphia, the zombification of people through the drugs that are coming in to this country. Little zombies, the growing, the burgeoning of tent cities, the crime that is rampant in New York City, daytime stabbings. There was a shootout in Chicago around amidst a large group of people. Two people died, others were wounded, but these people were allowed to have this exchange because there's a new policy called mutual combat. And so these people are fighting one another in the streets with guns. California, LA, just the things and just the rampant crime that is going on. Why has this come about? a few years back, there was a video of a couple of pastors who were doing a striptease in front of their congregation. This is not of God. You will never read of Paul or John, of Peter, of Andrew, of Jude. You will never read of any of these men doing a striptease before the people of God. So what is going on here? Well, you see the spiritual rot. You see the apostasy that has come. John presents Jesus in John chapter 1, verse 5, as the light that shineth in darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. See, the darkness cannot extinguish the light that is Jesus. I no longer talk about human psychotherapy and human spirituality and human psychiatry because we see it has been bastardized, yes, bastardized. And it was that all along. And there are so many so-called Christians telling people, believers and pastors, to get credentialed in these areas. I was part of a ministry organization that at one time one had to have almost impeccable credentials to join. And now they have become so watered down, so milquetoast, that it's no longer viable as a source of true biblical spirituality because they've allowed psychotherapy to come in and to be more important than the truth of the Word of God. These organizations abandon God first. God doesn't abandon them first. And then you see the fruit of what this stuff does. It destroys because it is not the Word. It is not faithful to the living Word. But John presents Christ as essential to us. So, we have the changing of water into wine. We have the healing of the nobleman's son. We have the healing of the impotent man, the feeding of the 5,000. We have Jesus walking on water. We have the healing of the blind man. We have the raising of Lazarus. And so we have what? We have the power of Jesus over space, time, quantity, natural law, and misfortune. And so he is complete. He is our Savior. We lack nothing if we come to Jesus when he is our satisfaction. What did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will follow you. That is the truth. Occupation with Christ brings marvelous blessings, brings satisfaction, makes life complete, makes life worthwhile. Look on the other side of the fence. People like to talk about what the green on the other side. What do you have? Fear, lack, destruction, misery, and the onset of ruin. Come to Jesus and have a real life. Good evening, and God bless you.